All right. Well, good morning. Couple new faces, so if you haven't met me, my name is Pastor Ian, and we just are glad you are all here. There's this transition that I think we all can agree with from the warmth of our bed to the cold of our car and how cold it is lately to here. So you made it. You're here. The heater's on. We're good. Amen. All right. So last week we spoke about peace. Amen. We spoke about the kind that the world talks about in the circumstances when they line up just right. But the deep and steady peace Jesus brings when he steps into your story is what restores your heart and restores what is broken in our lives. So Jesus gives us this peace that we can hold through our loss, our uncertainty, our challenges, and every season that we walk through. But peace isn't the end of what God is doing. Once God brings peace, he begins to renew the heart. And when the heart is renewed, joy begins to rise again. The joy in our life. It's not this superficial happiness that we have. It's not temporary joy. It's real joy that runs deep. And it's deeper than anything the world can give us. And that's what brings us to today. This third candle of Advent reminds us that Jesus is our priest and the joy that he brings because of what he's done. And the moment we understand what a priest was always meant to be, joy stops being something that we chase, but instead something that God grows in us through a relationship with him. And because when Jesus becomes your priest, everything changes. Amen? Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would guide us through your word. I pray that you would continue to just shine your light on us, your presence. I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to be among us and just lift us up and guide us through today. Lord, we thank you for being our joy. We thank you for being our priest. We thank you for being our hope in a world that needs it. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you do. In your name we pray. Amen. So whether people know it or not, every heart is searching for the same thing. Did you know that? Every heart wants joy. Every heart wants an intercessor, someone who can bring reconciliation for what we need. When we feel far from God, we want someone to step in. We want someone to help. We want someone to guide. We want someone to nourish. And we want someone who can say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So deep down, humanity longs for someone to bring us back to God. Sometimes we fill it with other things. Sometimes we fill it with worldly things. And it never satisfies. But the joy that Christ brings satisfies us for all eternity. And we long for that, for a priest. So not in a religious or positional sense, but in the sense of what Scripture tells us the priest is and how it describes it. Someone who mediates, someone who intercedes on our behalf, someone who restores. Someone whose voice leads us to the presence of God and guides us to him. And long before Jesus, God used someone named Moses to show us what a priestly role looked like and what we truly need in a priest. So when Israel left Egypt, they were free. Amen? They were free from that bondage, but it brought a new challenge in their life. They did not know how to live as God's people. So while they were free, they now needed to learn and needed direction. They needed truth. They needed someone who would hear from God and speak to them. And Moses became that man for them. So Scripture shows us that Moses stood standing before God again and again on behalf of the people of Israel. So when Israel sinned, Moses interceded. When they complained, which they were notorious for doing, sound familiar in our lives? Okay, when they complained, Moses pleaded with God. When they rebelled, Moses stood up and stood in that gap. And in Exodus, we watch a nation that had seen miracles still struggle with their faith. They saw the miracles of God, and they still struggled with the faith that they had. They doubted, they grumbled, and in the moment for fear, they even created a golden calf because they wanted comfort. They exchanged the glory of God for something that they could control, someone that they can figure out. But Moses did what a priest does, and he prayed for mercy. He sought reconciliation. He asked God to forgive them. Even to the point in Exodus 32, Moses says, "If you will not forgive them, then blot me out of your book." Moses cared deeply for them, and he wanted to intercede. He said, "Don't do this. Please, I'm pleading with you." When he came down from the mountain, Moses was willing to stand between the people and judgment. And this is the role of a priest in Scripture. A priest intercedes. They seek cleansing. They seek help. They bring people back to God. They point people toward holiness. And a priest gives God's word so that they can walk in truth, that they can see truth. In Deuteronomy 8:15, it says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. You must listen to him." So this is Moses speaking to the Israel. And God told Israel that Moses would not be the end of their story. Instead, someone greater was coming, someone who would be there for them, someone who would speak for God perfectly. Someone who would not only tell the truth, but would restore their heart. And then continuing in verse 18, it says, "I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I commanded him." So what Moses is doing, Moses shows us the shape of this priesthood, but it cannot cleanse the heart, because Moses was human, right? Moses had his sin. Moses could point. He couldn't remove guilt. He couldn't restore joy. He could not bridge that gap permanently, but he could point to the one who does. And we can find joy in that. So Moses shows us that we need what we need in a priest, but Scripture also shows us that what we often choose instead. What we need and what we want are not always the same, are they? Exodus 20, verse 1 through 3 gives us a clear command. It says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me." But almost immediately, Israel created another god. They created the golden calf, right? And why is that? Because people want a God that they can control. People want a God that they can control, not a God that reigns over their life and calls them into obedience. They want a God that they can control. They want a priest who comforts them, but not a priest who corrects them. Bless you. They want a priest They want a priest who comforts them, not corrects them. They want a leader who tells them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. And in our world today, people seek this type of leader all the time. And some churches even are built on this type of leadership. You know, some churches today, not all, and it's wild. It has nothing to do with size. It has nothing to do with impact, finances, nothing. It's just there is some churches, small churches. There's mega churches. There's churches of all shapes and sizes. But there are some today that preach a feel-good message that avoids sin, avoids hard truth, and trades the biblical preaching for motivational speaking and comfort. It prioritizes their comfort over conviction. And it's relatable. They use the modern language. They connect. And it presents this like buddy Jesus, right? Has anyone ever seen the movie Elf? Right? His name's what? Buddy. Everybody's buddy. Okay? They have this mentality where they want and present a buddy Jesus, where Jesus is my friend, Jesus, and that's true. But they don't present the Jesus that is, you need to be obedient. They forget that there is true joy that we find in Christ when we are obedient to him. And he provides us with eternal comfort. Yet, as human beings, we seek and search for quick comfort, quick joy, quick satisfaction. And I think I'm pretty sure we can all agree in all those things that we seek to find joy, even the good things, the things that aren't good for us, all the things that we use to find joy do not fulfill joy the whole time. It always ends. There's something that happens. We choose what makes us comfortable, but we forget the true comfort that we find in Christ. So even Israel made this mistake of putting Moses on a pedestal. They treated him like he was the one who saved them or was going to save them. They forgot that Moses was only a representative of God and was not the Savior. Some look for teachers with smooth words and how they act and how they present themselves rather than biblical truth. Some chase personalities instead of scripture. I like the way he dresses. I like the way he acts. I like the way he conducts himself because he opened the Bible. And many of us live, social media is amazing. And at the same time, it's not. Because there's a lot of us who live in a YouTube church culture where we follow the voices that keep us comfortable. I heard this sermon over here. It was great. I heard this over here and this over here. And you seek the comfort in the voices instead of voices that call you to deeper truth, to conviction, and to repentance. And like I said, this is not all churches. I'm not saying if you go on YouTube, you're going to find all these churches. You go on YouTube, you're going to find our church. And I hope that we would know that we are a Bible-believing and affirming church. But it's such a mix. It's so easy to click and go, that was a great message. That was a great thing that I heard. But when you peel back the layers, it's like, what did you hear? And let's be honest, many people have left the church not because Jesus failed them, but because they followed a pastor or leader who said and had the listen to me narrative. Look at my lifestyle. Look at my life. Look at what I'm doing. And when that leader fell, their faith fell with him and the person they looked to. So we don't follow the person. We follow the Savior that they are pointing to. We don't follow the sin, the human, right? When I preach, when Jermaine preaches, when we have guest speakers, We are not asking or saying, listen to me. We're saying, listen to him. I mean, in some aspects, I feel like I have the best job in the world. I do. I feel that at all times because I get to go visit people. I get to hang out with people. I get to do these things. I get to just, my job is to be with you, right? But also my job is to read the word of God. I don't change it. I don't add things to it. My job and whoever comes up here and whoever you're listening to and whatever preacher there is out there is to share the word of God to help you understand, to help you grow closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's why I love my job, because I'm just reading what's already done. I already have all the answers. I'm not making stuff up. I'm not figuring things out. I'm just like, let's open the Bible right here. I love it. But when we follow the person and we see the person that's standing there and we put our joy in, like, oh, this way of teaching, these people, this church style, this thing, all this stuff, and we put that, our joy into that, when it fails, we step back. But we need to be led to Christ, because Christ is our true joy. And regardless of what happens in our life and the situations that happen, we find joy in him. So bad priests will mislead and bad shepherds will scatter the sheep. But Jesus warns us of this in John 10, verses 11 through 13, where it says, the hired hand runs when trouble comes, but the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that's why the world could never give us this everlasting joy, because the world always offers voices to follow that will fail unless we point to Christ. We are just pointing to him. Sometimes the world asks you to follow wrong leaders. They want you to trust in the wrong leaders. They want you to trust in priests to depend on. But God gives us the right one. God gave us Jesus to find, to be our joy. So when people fall, when people fail, when leaders fail, when systems fail, Moses pointed forward, but Moses was also a sinner. But God did not leave us without direction. He told us exactly what a priest should be so we could recognize the real one when he arrived, which is Jesus Christ. Because the priest that God calls us to follow, it says in Malachi 2 verse 7, for the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty, and people seek instruction from his mouth. So a priest is going to preserve truth. A priest takes people to God, not to himself. A priest teaches scripture faithfully. A priest protects holiness in the community. A priest gives God's instructions that people know how to walk in his righteousness. But a priest's job is to not control people. It's to lead people to the Lord. And his job is to help people grow in grace, walk in truth, and live in holiness. And holiness is not about just the rules. Holiness is joy restored through Jesus in our lives. The one thing Wesley taught is that God's grace does not only forgive, but it transforms. So a holy people become joyful through transformation in their hearts and in their lives. And yes, we say the word priest and pastor and stuff, but the true priest, the one and only priest who will never fail you, who will always be there for you, who lives for you, who died for you, who rose again, who conquered sin, is Jesus Christ. And anyone else in that mix that has a title of priest should only be pointing you to the joy and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay? So Moses did this well, but Moses could only take them so far. He was the pointer of the true priest to come, because Jesus is our great and high priest. So every story we hear, every foreshadow, every sacrifice, every cry for mercy points us to Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:14 declares that we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. So you see, Jesus is everything that we long for in a priest. He interceded perfectly and continues to do so. He cleanses completely. He reconciles fully. He restores our joy deeply. He understands all of our weakness. And he has been tempted in every way, yet did not sin. And what that means when we hear that, when we know that and understand it, we understand that this means that our priest, Jesus Christ, understands you. He understands what you're going through. He understands the pain. He understands the hurt. He understands the temptation, because he was also tempted, but he did not sin. So Jesus Christ is not like when kids look at their parents and they're like, "You'll never understand. You don't know what I'm going through." And now that we're older, those of us who have kids, we're like, "If you only knew." But that's just a small piece. That's just a glimpse of what Jesus Christ is for us, because he knows everything. He knows us. He knows our heart. He knows our desires. He knows what we're struggling with. And he can come to us and he can intercede on our behalf and say, "I know that you're struggling, but I'm here to hold you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to guide you. I'm here to be the joy that you can't find in those things that you're looking for." And that's Jesus. So if Jesus is the perfect priest, then following him leads somewhere. It leads us to the joy that nothing else can imitate. So Peter, we've been in the book of Acts, and we took a break during Advent, but we see Peter in Acts. But Peter understood this better than anyone, it seems like. Because in John 6, if you remember, many people walk away from Jesus. So Jesus was talking to the disciples. He was talking. He was sharing. And people walked away because of what Jesus was saying. They're like, hold on. That conversation just became difficult. We're going to turn away. And Jesus looks at the 12 during this situation, because it's not just regular people, it's disciples, those who were following Jesus Christ turned away and were like, things just got real. I'm going to go this way. And then Jesus looks at the 12 and he says, you do not want to leave too, do you? And we see Peter. Peter responds with one of the most honest statements that I can see in Scripture. He says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Where are we going to go? And that is the heart of joy. There is nowhere else to go. There is no one else who speaks life and truth the way Jesus does. There's no other great priest who restores the soul. There's no other voice that fills the heart with everlasting joy. So in our struggles, when we're like, this is getting real, I don't know what to do, our response, be humble like Peter. Where else am I going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And I'm going to follow you. And joy grows in our life when we follow Jesus above every other voice. Joy strengthens when we trust his intercession, his wisdom, his cleansing, his direction. And joy becomes more steady when we stop looking for someone else to do what only Christ can do. If you're finding joy and it keeps failing, if you're finding joy and it's not steady and it's like, it was better yesterday, today's a little rough, I'm going back and forth, maybe you're not looking for joy in the right place. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever. And he's our high priest. The joy that only he can fulfill. And because Jesus is the high priest, he shares his ministry with his believers. So if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, you have a calling. You are invited personally into the work of God. You get to intercede for people around you to point them to Christ. You get to bring God's word into your relationships. You get to speak encouragement into weary hearts. The weary world rejoices. You get to speak into their hearts. You get to point people to Jesus when they feel lost. And joy grows as you live out this calling of following him. But with that calling is also going to come a warning. So don't put people on the pedestal. Don't let YouTube become your priest. Don't let pastors become your saviors. Don't let authors become your source of truth. You're like, I read this great book, and don't get me wrong, there's great teaching. There's great words of wisdom. There's great books that we can read. But if we are replacing the Bible and saying, you need to read this book by so-and-so, it led me to, like, this is the only thing I share now. It's the only thing I know. It's the only thing I love. Or you need to hear this pastor. They teach. It's what they say. What they say goes. It's how we get to Christ. We have the Bible. We have his word. And joy grows when we live out that calling. So when your joy depends on people, your joy will crumble when they fail. But when your joy depends on Christ, your joy stands because Christ stands. Christ will not fall. Christ has already won. Christ is going to reign forever. Christ is the Almighty King. Put your joy in something that will never fail rather than putting our joy in something that might fade tomorrow. Even when Moses lifted his arms, he needed help, right? Remember that? He couldn't keep his arms up. He needed someone to intercede to help. But Jesus lifts his nail-scarred hands over you and me forever. Moses prayed for a nation, but Jesus prays for you by name. Moses brought God's word down from a mountain, but Jesus brings you into the presence of his Father. He is your priest. He is your mediator. He is your joy. And next week, when we light the candle of love, and look at Jesus as our prophet, the one who speaks truth, calls us home. But we'd start with finding joy in him. And my encouragement this week, before we pray, I'm going to invite the worship team up. My encouragement this week is that if you are searching for joy this season, remember what this season is all about. You have the gifts, I understand. You might not get what you want. We have the people around us in our homes, in our friend groups, our families, but that person might not be there that you wanted to be there. That gift that you wanted might not be under the tree. That movie that you wanted to watch may no longer be available. I don't know. But the true meaning of this season, what we are here for, is to remember the joy of Jesus Christ. To remember he fills our heart. On Christmas morning, before you open gifts, remember Jesus. On Christmas Eve, when you're hanging out with your family and you're getting together for dinner, or whatever you might be doing, remember Jesus. When we sit here today and we sing these songs and we do all these things, we remember Jesus, who brings the true joy in our lives forever. Let's pray.